It is a pleasure of mine, as always, to introduce a friend of God and a great friend of First Baptist Church to lead us this morning and to break the Word of God to us. Butch Woods, if you'd come and lead us this morning. Thank you.
I preached a message entitled that God will not give us more than we can bear. And in the midst of that message, I said that that was a lie. Because there are some things that make us feel like we want to crack. We can't make it. Can't go another step. But our relationship with God says everything. This morning, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me in the book of James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, and could you stand for the reading of God's word? When you have it, say amen. James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Father God, we bless you and we honor you this morning, giving your name first and foremost the glory, the honor, and the praise. God, we may be heavy in spirit and heavy in heart, but God, we know that you're worthy. We know that our minds may be other places and things may be going on, God, that we don't have answers for, and we've reached out and prayed and even tried to touch the hem of your garment. But we know that you're worthy this morning, God. God, we stand before you in the gap for my brother and my sister. God, as they are reflecting on you, we pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you would touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch their spirits, God. God, there's many things that we can say and many things that we can do, but God, right now, they need prayer. And as we place them before your altar, God, we step behind the veil and we ask in the loving name of Jesus that you would bring peace, not only to that family, but to this congregation, God. As one went home this week or last week, God, and that took a long journey, and the one that had a short journey was only here for a second to bring joy, God, we pray and ask for peace in the name of Jesus. God, continue to bind this congregation together. Continue to give them strength. Continue to show them favor, as only you can and will do. These things we ask in your loving Son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Shake two people's hands this morning. Go ahead. Long, the everlasting. Go ahead. You do it. I can't get it. Go ahead. What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
Leaning on the everlasting. Oh,
oh, what
a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting. Oh,
I
am leaning.
Oh, holy.
Leaning.
Safe
and secure from
all.
Oh,
holy.
Fellowship,
what
a joy divine,
leaning
on the everlasting.
Oh, oh, oh. From day to day,
leaning on the everlasting.
May be seated. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This morning I want to use as a short subject, I'll keep you in my prayers. Last night my wife and I had what we call a date night, and not knowing what I was going to speak on, we sat at the restaurant and tried to enjoy each other's company. But she had always asked me, where are you at? And I didn't have to answer because she knew. Going to bed late last night and rising again early at 3 o'clock this morning, I still had no idea what I wanted to, or what the Lord wanted me to preach on. I began to look at some old notes, and I found some notes that I had about a minister friend of mine that I had listened to here in Robinson during a revival. And this minister said, in the midst of his revival about Wednesday, he said he was attacked with gout. Now, I don't know if anybody in here has ever experienced gout, but to me, gout is the worst pain that you could ever have in your life. And he said that while he was working on a message, he said he couldn't concentrate. He said because the pain in his foot, and he said the place where he was staying, this is the minister's words, he said the place where he's staying, the host pastor had a son with special needs. And he said all day long, the son with the special needs had these toy guns, and we'd go bang, 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 bang. So he said he was sitting there and he had his foot propped up and he was trying to wait on God for a message. And he said the young man came to his door where he was at and asked him what he was doing and why he had his shoe off. And he tried to explain to him the pain of gout. He said the young man walked into his room and asked, could he pray for him? And he said before he said yes, he said that young man grabbed that toe and he said the pain shot through his body. He couldn't think of anything else but getting that boy's hand off his foot. And he said in the process of trying to remove his hand from his foot, he said he heard the young man's prayer. And what that young man said was, Jesus, bless his foot. Amen. Bang, bang. And he left the room. And he said he's sitting there thinking at this time, and he says, what a waste of time. And he says, I don't know why I allowed him to come in here, and I don't know why I did that. And he says, while he was saying these things in the back of his mind, he said he realized that the pain in his foot was gone. Mm-hmm. No more pain. And while he was telling this during the revival, he says, since that day or from that day, he's never had an episode with gout. And he said, while he was sitting there in his mind complaining about this young man grabbing his foot, he said he had to apologize to God because that boy was closer to God than he was. 1979, I was working at Kroger's. And every Saturday, once a month, they would have a meat special. And I became friends with a man by the name of Toma Yankov. He was a Jewish Polish child that survived Auschwitz. Didn't speak a lot of English, but the words that he knew, we were able to communicate and able to talk back and forth. And one particular Saturday, he came in there and the store was full. And I was standing, I'll never forget it, standing smack dab in the middle of the meat section, moving meat and filling the counters back up. And he came in and tried to play with me, and I had a sinus infection. And he said, what's wrong? You're not happy. And I began to tell him that I have a sinus infection and it hurts. And right before I got ready to go back to get some more meat, I said, but keep me in your prayers. And before I could turn around, he grabbed me by the arm. He slapped his hand on my head. And in that broken English, he said, Fazo God in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear anything else from that prayer because I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. How dare this man put his hands on my head? How dare he pray for me in public? Me being the Christian that I am, how dare he do this? But as he prayed for me, in the midst of my shame, I felt my sinuses begin to drain. I felt that pressure and that pain leave. And I knew that Toma was closer to God than me. And from that moment on, you can ask anybody, if you ask me to pray, I don't care if we're in the middle of Walmart, I don't care if we're on the highway, I'll pull over. If you ask me to pray, we are going to pray right then and right now. Why is that? Because I know who I am. I have good intentions, but I'm forgetful. Keep me in your prayers. I'm busy. My wife says that I'm moody. I'm hungry most of the time. And she also says that I'm easily distracted, which causes me to do a oops after the thought, Hail Mary, oh, here they come. I better pray now prayer. Can I be honest this morning? Or am I the only one that's done that? Ooh, they're coming. I've been praying for you. I've kept you in my prayers. So whenever someone asks for prayer, whenever someone needs prayer, I will pray now because I don't want to give you a mumbled without faith or favor or without feeling prayer. I want to touch the very throne of God. The Bible tells us here, James reminding us that the repetition and the habit and the repeating of prayer over and over again before the throne and before the face of God is like a never-ending gun that's constantly fired at the devil's head. Bang, 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 bang. That the only thing that the devil can do is run and duck for cover. And those are the prayers that do not return unto God void. Bang, bang. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray that the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. If we really want to be honest this morning, our walk with God and what we do with God has nothing to do with the churches that we go on, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist. Our walk with God has nothing to do with the positions that we hold in church. And our walk with God has nothing to do with the ability to read scriptures at light speed. Amen. You can read all the scriptures you want to. Your walk with God and the effectiveness and the power that you have with God is based on your ability to seek the face of God, to walk in the throne of God, and to get behind the veil and seek the very face of God. Can you touch the hem of Jesus' garment? Another problem that we have in the body of Christ is preparation. We prep before we cook. Amen. Mm-hmm. We prep before we walk. We even prep before we go to bed. You have a routine of brushing your teeth, saying your prayers, so forth, so on. So you prep, right? Why is it that we have no preparation before we go to the throne of God? And then we wonder why we're not a warrior. We wonder why we're not effective. And we wonder why we cannot communicate freely and effectively with God. Where are you? What are you doing? Because what I'm seeing now in the body of Christ is if you look up the word prayer, prayer means to petition, to vow a request, to worship, to command, to intercede, commit, meditate, trust, and my personal favorite, listen to God. Listen to God. My wife says I have a tendency to tell God what we're doing. You can't strong arm God. Mm-hmm. I don't care how strong your prayers are. I don't care how fervent you may pray. You can't strong arm God. But here's the thing. Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we making preparations before we go to the throne of God? Because here's the problem. A lot of us, instead of making preparation, we're being busybodies. A lot of us, instead of making preparations, we're complaining. A lot of us, instead of making preparations, we're going out buying the latest things. We're trying to keep up with the Kardashians. And you cannot make a preparation for God with your phone in your hand. Amen? Oh, Jesus, I just, tell me how strong you'll be with that. Our prayer lives are revealed by our purpose, our presence, and our persistence in the face of God, or the lack thereof. We may think that we have a strong and effective prayer life. If you can't pray more than 10 minutes, something's wrong. Somebody say amen or oh me.
Amen.
If you can't pray more than 10 minutes, something is wrong. Because let me tell you something. Problems on sitcoms are figured out in 30 minutes. Your prayer life has got to be consistent. Give me some music. Forget everything else. Let me just close with this. During World War II, a British soldier was caught secretly crawling back to his tent from a wooded area. And in the middle of the night, he was taken to the commander's office and accused of conspiring with the enemy. The soldier pleaded that he was only in the woods to pray. That's all I was doing, was just praying. When his commander asked him, he said, "Are you in the habit of spending hours in prayer alone?" The soldier replied, "Yes, I am." And the commanding officer said, "Then get down on your knees and pray as if your life depended upon it." The soldier, knowing that he was going to be shot in the morning for a crime that he did not commit, he got down on his knees and poured his heart out to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. After this young man had said amen, a hush came over the commander's tent. And he quietly told the young man, he says, "You can leave. I believe your story." When asked later why he let the soldier go, he replied, "If he had not drilled often, he would have never done so well in review." If he had not drilled often, he would have never done well in review. Or that we would drill often in preparation for the times that lie ahead in our lives. We don't know. My friend, your pastor, wasn't ready, but he was prepared. Come on, this is your pastor. This is where you say amen. Your pastor, Sister Hannah, they weren't ready, but they were prepared. Because I know Brother Trey and Sister Hannah as praying people. Last time I stood in this pulpit, I said there are things that come into our lives that we're not ready for, that we don't want, but God makes us ready. They were ready. Wasn't expecting it, didn't want it. And I was telling something, I was telling Tracy, I said, I would rather be here under different circumstances. But he could have called me Sunday morning, I'd have been here, because I know your pastor's integrity. Amen. He was ready for that difficult situation that came in his life. Are you ready? No, I'm not trying to speak anything over your life. I'm not saying that something's going to happen, but I'm saying the effective, the fervent, the prayer of a righteous man and a righteous woman will availeth much. Smack dab in the middle of something is not the time to pray. It's time for us to pray right now. Oh, that we would drill in preparation for the things in our lives. Because when we do, Matthew 21:22 says, God will answer them as he answered Jesus, who promised, "Whatever you ask in prayer will be received if you ask in faith." I pray this morning that you don't have a bang bang situation, or a Father God in the name of Jesus situation, or pray like your life depended upon it situation. I pray that your minds and your hearts are making preparations every single day. Not just the morning prayer, not just the go to bed prayer, but I'm talking praying fervently throughout the day. We don't have any problems praying fervently. The money in the bank is fine. Pray fervently. All the bills are paid. Pray fervently. All the kids are fine. Pray fervently. Or the church can continue to do what they did when prayer was taken out of schools. Or the church can continue to do what they did when homosexuality was allowed. It's our responsibility to pray, to seek God's face, and to know we are the ones that control the things that happen on this earth, because the church is bigger than anything and everything else. Amen? Could you bow your heads in prayer? Father God, as we pray for this church, the pastor and the first lady, God, we pray and we ask in the name of Jesus for your total strength, peace, and protection in their lives, God. God, we pray that you would give them that mind to understand that we may not know what is going on or why a situation happens. But Deuteronomy 29 and 29 said the secret things belong to the Most High, and that which is ours forever. We don't understand, God, but we trust you, love you, and believe you. Now, Father God, we just ask in Jesus' name that as I pray for this church, I ask God in Jesus' name that you would just continue to glue everything together to make this church that which you've called in these last days, God.